Come on in and grab a seat. We can get going. Michael Shelton, you want to open us up in word of prayer? Amen. We'll be in Luke, if you want to turn over to Luke 6. And this was a very interesting lesson. Talking about the apostles, disciples, and just how they came to be, what they did, and just what they got to do, and how they got to just be with our Savior for that period of time when he was on earth. But if you're over at Luke, we will start in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, who he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zealous, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas the Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And here we have Jesus picking who he wanted to be his apostles. If you quickly turn over to Matthew 10. We'll take another account real quick. Matthew 10 and verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal in all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And again, just, sometimes you hear the apostles go by different names. It's the same people. Same account. We have different accounts in the Gospels of who they were, their names. And the fantastic thing about this is these were no special people. They were ordinary people. Most of them fishermen. And you're taking fishermen and they know how to throw a net out, you know, and catch some fish. That was their life. Now, granted, it would probably be hard sometimes, you know, depending on the weather and where the fish move to, but you could get that, right? That's a pattern, you know. You could pick up on that. Sometimes that's how work works. It just works in a pattern, and then you get caught in that pattern and you keep doing it. But it wasn't like they were living this luxurious lifestyle or it was something that was, you know, meaningful that people looked up to and said, oh, that's what I would like to do. I would like to go out there and throw that, throw some nets out and catch some fish. But that's what they did. And it amazes me that these people, you got Peter and all these fishermen and John, and they're simple people. They're simple people. And Jesus says, I'd rather use that. I'd rather use that. And there's half the problem, right? Because in Matthew, we learn that, right, that Jesus is the king. That's what they were. That was the problem. They were waiting for a king to come to them. And he didn't come in a fashion of a king. And he also didn't use the men that a king would use. He chose simple people. And the greatest thing is he can use us no matter what we do. what you want to do. I mean, all you have to do is be willing. Go to him. And he says, yeah, you know. But there was so many disciples too. That's what you got to keep in head. There was more than these guys that were just disciples. But these were the disciples that he called to be with him, to be the apostles. These are people that he saw something in. We'll get to that in a little bit, but he saw something in them. Now, all these guys, why did he pick 12? I mean, there's lots of reasons. There's lots of, you know, scholars are getting to that, but why did he pick them? And really, I truly believe it. It was because of, if you turn over to Luke 9, it's because there was a certain thing that he was looking for. Luke 9. And verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And I think it's really as simple as that. We could see some five things in there that it would take, that people would want. One, they had a desire. I think that's what Jesus was looking at when he called it. They had the desire. Again, these were fishermen. You had a tax collector, which really was looked down upon. But they had the desire. They had that desire to, what is the truth? What does my God expect of me? None of these guys didn't you know, they weren't atheist or deist or anything like that. They knew a God, they knew who he was, and what does he expect? They had a desire, they wanted to know, they wanted to learn from him. And Jesus could use that. He seriously could. He could use all that. You know, and what is a disciple? A disciple is a learner, a scholar, one who receives or professes to receive instruction from another. So there you go with your disciple. But he took these 12 and made them into apostles. An apostle is a person deputed to execute some important business, but appropriately. And there was no other important business that Jesus came for than to what? The gospel. Now, the gospel was different when he first chose them. We see that the gospel goes from the kingdom of heaven to the, you're right, to the kingdom of, hey, you know, and there you are. There's two different kingdoms. I don't want to get into all that this morning. I want to talk about these men that just, they had that desire. They had that desire. And as we read it, it's about picking up your cross, right? They had to make a decision. And I believe God picked these 12 men because he knew what decision they were going to make. They wanted to be that close to him. And it's funny because we have that same opportunity. We may not be with the Lord like they were here on earth, but we have that same, we should have that same desire. We should have that same decision that we have to make. Do I want to pick up my cross today and follow him? Do I want to be there? Do I want to be called a disciple? Do I want to know from him? He's given us a book to learn everything from. These guys didn't even have the book. They learned from the living word, which is just, I mean, I can't even explain how much that would, you know, the joy I would have for that. I mean, that's it. But you need that desire. You need that decision. You need a denial. Right? Pick up your cross. When you pick up your cross, you have to go with denial. You have to deny yourself some things. And these men denied themselves a lot. You look at Peter, and there's a certain religion out there that says Peter put away his wife. But that's not the truth. That's not what it says in the Bible. It's not. But where do you hear about Peter? Peter's with Jesus all the time, which means, well, he wasn't home. But, I mean, there's not. It doesn't go much into Peter's wife, but I bet you, you know, she was probably real happy that he chose that. Because, you know, she got to hear the gospel. She got to be a part of Jesus' life and all this. And sometimes that matters. It matters a lot. And I'm not telling people that to be in a ministry, you have to pick up and just, you know, leave your wife hanging or anything like that. Don't do that. But it's good that you be on the same page. And obviously, they were. A lot of things could have happened that. But, you know, he had that. He did. He says, you know, I'll deny myself these things. Because I want to know. I want to learn. I want to learn from this man. Who's this man? The Son of God, right? Peter declares that later on. Son of God. You are the Christ. And he goes, okay. He's like, I can do this. But it's also going to take, well, he picked these men because it was going to take some dedication. Right? I think that's what Christ was looking for too, some dedication from these men. And they had the dedication. They really wanted to. I mean, I can't even, I mean, one day we'll understand how it is to hear his voice, but I mean, you take these people. I mean, you know, Jesus saying, hey, come, you know, you're on a boat. It's like, hey, come follow me. It's like, okay. You know, walks path, come on, Matthew. It's okay. And it's just, it's strange to think that a voice could be so love, caring, but also so powerful at the same time to make men want to just stand up and go, hey, Come, I got something to tell you, and you're going to love it. You're going to love it. Oftentimes, that's not how we first respond to the gospel, but we do. We come to Christ, and we love it. It's the best deal you ever get. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to be put under the law. I don't have, right? He forgives all those things and says, just walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But he's looking at all these guys, you know. He sees these things in these men that he's looking for. But a lot of people he had a lot of disciples. If you turn over to, we'll start right here in Luke 6. Luke 6, back in the opening text. And in verse 13, Luke 6:13, it says, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. So that tells us right there, it tells us there was a few more than 12 with him. There were some people, so he was just looking for some things. We turn over to John 6. John 6 and verse 64, and it says, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man cometh unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then this is the greatest, I think these are some of the greatest verses to follow. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye go away? Will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And right there we could see the desire, the dedication, the determination that they had. Where are we going to go? That verse has got me through a lot of problems. It really has. Because if you're saved, where else are you going to go? where are you really going to go? You could try to go back out in the world. It's not going to work. You could try to stay away from church and not go into the world. And that ain't going to work. You're going to be miserable. You're not going to get anything accomplished. Then you're going to wonder why God does everything in everybody else's life and he hasn't answered you. Because you didn't want the desire. You didn't want to learn from him. And that's how we should be. We should want to learn every day, just like they did. They, you know, every day it was, hey, what do you got? What's he going to tell us today? Does he have something for us? Oh, he's got to have something for us. And what is, whether it was a parable, whether it was just truth about what hell would be like. Truth about how the Father just loves us as little children. Who has no intention of having anything evil come to us, but it's our choice. And that's the greatest thing, because I mean, just to learn, and that's how we should be with this book. I mean, are we learning anything from it? When we pick it up, are we just reading to read, or are we learning? Are we stopping on something? Are we trying to push forward? Like something catches our eyes. Do we just push forward to the next chapter, to the next few verses? Because these apostles didn't do that. It wasn't, well, I don't really like this part of your parable, Jesus. Why don't you just, can we speed it up? I got to get somewheres. No. They had that desire so bad. And that's what we're truly missing nowadays. With a lot of Christians, we're missing that desire. And that's why it's so important to understand that salvation has nothing to do with emotions. Because sometimes desire dies. Sometimes the fire goes out. But the Lord can put that fire back. He can cause that spark. And we need to know that. We need to have that desire, though, to push forward, that determination to say, you know what? I'm going to go forth. I know it's going to get hard. And this is what the Bible tells us. These things got hard for the apostles. They got really hard. It wasn't like, you know, I'm just going to go home and watch TV or, you know, wherever it may be. It was, no, where else am I going to go? Where else am I going to go? You know, these guys have seen miracles. They've witnessed the power of his voice and just the authority and the knowledge that came from it. But we'll get into a little bit of what they did. I mean, what did they do? Well, first, again, they came. God picked them to preach, and that's what he wanted them to do. If you turn over to Matthew 10. Matthew 10 and verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preaching, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And see, here's where we get that first picture. They were told to preach. They were preach to the Jews first. The kingdom of heaven, that is not ours. The kingdom of God is what we get. And that is so much better, and I don't understand why there's people out there that would even want the kingdom of heaven. I don't. The kingdom of God is just so much better. Why? Well, because kingdom of God has to do with the Spirit. And we have a certain thing there that's called the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. You can't get those any other way. You can't get those by looking at this physical world, by going into this world and saying, hey, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. it'll make me happy. It'll make me, it's not. It's not. It may make you happy for a moment or two, but it will never bring you joy. And there's the biggest thing. These apostles could understand the difference between joy and happiness, which is a big difference. It's a big difference. Happiness has everything to do with your circumstance, and joy does not. Joy does not. You could be joyful in a bad circumstance. But here we are. They're preaching to the Jews. That's what they were sent to. As we go on, it does switch, right, to the kingdom of God. And again, that has to do with them looking for a king. They didn't expect this humble, meek man to come to earth and sit there and you know, show them the things that they did and have the compassion that he did. Right? It was supposed to be, I'm coming in, I'm going to wipe out your enemies, I'm your king, that's it. And they had no clue that this was. And these men said, you know, I want to know more, though. Why is it like this? Why isn't it? And he says, here you go. Go out. Preach. Preach. And again, that's what we should be doing. As Christians nowadays, you should be out there preaching. And I'm going to say this. Preaching is different from being a pastor. If you're a woman and think you can't preach, you should preach the gospel to other people. You have an opportunity as well to hand out a tract, to tell them, give your testimony of what God has done to you. That is not being, that's not standing behind a pulpit and just being a pastor and shepherding people. That is not. He called everyone to go out and spread that gospel to the ends of the earth. And that's something we all have to remember. And sometimes I think women are better at it than men. And sometimes that's the problem. Because we have men that don't want to lead or be an example. And praise the Lord, he knows that some women are smart enough to do it, so we can see it and go, you know what? All right, Lord, maybe I'm slacking a little bit. And it's nothing against women, because women should. They really should. It's not about us. It's not about our whether we're male or female. It has nothing to do with anything. It has to do with him and him alone. And either you have the desire, either you have that love for God to want to please him and do what he wants, or you don't. Then if you don't, figure out what's wrong. Get on your hands and knees and pray. Get out there, ask for some opportunities. Now these guys all, you know, they're out there preaching and it switches over to the kingdom of God. But the awesome thing is we see he gave them power. When he was here, he gave them power to do all these certain things, to preach and all that. That's if we turn over to, I believe, Matthew 28. Let's see here. Where is it, Matthew? I think it might be off a little bit. But no, he's talking about preaching here. But that this is exactly what it is. You know, this is what they're supposed to be doing here in Matthew 28, in verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I mean, isn't that a great promise? Lo, I'm with you to the end of the world. Go out there, you know, teach some people what God has for you. And this is what they were doing. Out there and just, it's not about me. It's not about me. And it's funny because they really did. They had it worse. They had a whole sect of Jews that wanted him dead. They had Romans that wanted him dead. They didn't like this. They didn't like this idea. They didn't like this idea that they had to be accountable for themselves to God. And that's truly what it comes down to. You hear that gospel and you don't like to be accountable for what you've done. You don't want to think that you're that bad that it's cost you something. That it's moved you to one place or another. Because there is no middle ground. Either you're doing for them or you're not doing for them. If you're not doing for them, then who are you doing for? Yourself. But Jesus bestowed on them these apostolic gifts, which is most important to remember when you're talking about apostles. Because they're the only ones that had it. They're the only ones that had it. Now, apostles changes here and there. But these 12 were never changed. You see certain apostles come, get added, but these 12 were never changed. And they were given these gifts. But the problem is now you have religions out there saying they're apostles and all this, and you know, I have, you know, I can heal the sick, I can do this, and you know, I mean, it's hilarious. No, they can't. See, because when these apostles touched somebody, it was just like Christ. That's the power he gave them. He gave them his power. These apostles, their gifts, they healed somebody, they healed somebody. They didn't get sick again. They didn't get the same thing. They were fully healed. That was it. That's what God did. That's what God did through them. So these are some gifts that you need to go out there and show. And why? Because what he's trying to tell them is there's a lot of people out there that need to know these things, and they need to know they're true. Which brings me to that. Right? What is it? A Jew requires a sign. A Greek knowledge. And that's what these apostolic gifts truly get at. Is it's for, right? It's for an unbelieving Jew. It's to say, hey, your king has come and you didn't realize it. Your king came, you know, after he was crucified and resurrected, it was your king came and you did nothing. But we're still going to do it. Because they were. Acts is a transitional book where you start to see where it goes from, where they start to go to the Gentiles. That's why it starts talking about baptism. Baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. Is it a commandment? Is it something we should do? Absolutely. I thought that was the greatest thing I could do after I got saved. I mean, because you get saved, your first response should be, I need to do something for the Lord. I need to do something for the Lord. And then you start reading, and then you start talking to people, and they're like, well, you know, you can get baptism. Oh, well, why? Well, isn't, you know, and you're looking, it's like, oh, because he says to. Well, I can do that. Wow, one thing I can do to please the Lord right off the bat. And I don't have to, you know, and it has nothing to do. And that's the attitude of people. People have so much different attitude, Christians alone, from what the apostles had. We need to get that better attitude, because that's what it is. It's the attitude, well, I don't need to get baptized to you know, to be saved or stay saved. So what? Something simple. Just do it. It's great. The only thing that gets in the way is our pride. Oh, well, I'm so old. So, you know, I mean, what are they going to think if I get up there and you know, and. But it's not. It's really easy. I mean, I can't tell you the joy I had when I got baptized. And it was just, and it wasn't because I had to. It's because he said, do it. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I need to please him. I need to please him. Let's do this. because he's with me to the end of the world, just like he told them. But that's how it was. It was these things. It's like, okay, we'll get baptized for the Holy Ghost. It was for the Jewish people, so they could see that their king did come. They could receive these things because they needed that sign. They couldn't understand it. Right? And the best picture we could see is how it is in the beginning of Acts, and then you sit there with Cornelius in 10. Cornelius had it all figured out except for the Jesus part. He was like, okay, yeah, I want to be with God. I desire to be with God. I'll deny myself if I have to, but I am determined to know God. And God said, okay, I'll send you somebody. And what do? You send them an apostle. But that's the biggest thing when you're looking at people now and they're talking that they're an apostle, they're not healing anybody. They're not doing anything. And honestly, the biggest thing that they're doing nowadays, calling themselves apostles, is talking in tongues. That's their key thing. Oh, I can talk into a tongue. You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just because we have good pastors and you get the good doctrine here and all that stuff, but boy, for the first couple years, man, I was getting all kinds of things to just to test my faith and see where I stood on things and all that. And I would just meet people. You know, my sister would come up and say, "Oh, meet so and so," and the first thing out of his mouth was, "Oh, I speak in tongues. Do you?" And I'm sitting there going, "Why, Lord? Why?" Like, that's a different story, though. I get people like that all the time, and they'll ask questions about, you know, well, if the Bible's real, what happened to the dinosaurs? And I'm like, seriously, that's your main concern? What happened to the dinosaurs? Like, you do understand, God in the flesh came, paid for everything you had, died and rose again, and you're worried about dinosaurs or talking into tongues or this thing. And it's like, that's the main focal point. Who is it? God. It's that God is merciful. God is loving. And again, these 12 men knew that. They wanted to be a part of that. Right? He lost everyone but one. Everyone was saved but one. And he knew that. He knew it was going to happen. But they didn't have it easy. They truly did not have it easy. Just to touch about that, if you go over to Revelation 2, with people nowadays saying they're apostles and they have these gifts and do all these wonderful things. And Revelation 2, in verse 2, it says, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." You're talking about how long ago was this written? And you still have people nowadays that it's right there, right in front of your face. "I'm an apostle." "Are you? Well, let's see if you have everything then." But they don't realize it. All these 12, and even when they replaced Judas, those 12 then, they were not only there for John the Baptist's ministry, but saw Jesus Christ. And that's what it is. And they're apostles, and they're, I still get caught up, because you just think about it, of how wonderful it really is. Sometimes my brain slides like that, and I try to go on, but it's amazing. It's amazing to learn from that, and then we get to be a part of that. From one choice that you made. One choice, because you realize that just like these men, where am I going to go? Amen. You got the eternal life. Where am I going to go? I need to be near you. And as long as you have that desire to be near God at all times, you should be okay, as long as you listen to Him. It's one thing to have a desire, but not a desire to listen to what He's telling you to do. But you have that desire, and you have that desire to please Him and to look to see if that's matching up with Scripture, then you're going to be okay. He can work with that. He can work with that desire. And how do I know? Because I'm standing here. That's how I know. But yeah, we go through this whole thing. I mean, there was, these apostles. I mean, you even had, the argument break out between John the Baptist's disciples and Jesus. You know, they go to John and say, hey, what is this all about? They're over here, baptizing, saying this and that. He's like, yeah, that's okay. They're with us. And that's when John says, I must decrease so He can increase. I'd never lied to you. I told you I wasn't Him, right? I told you I wasn't Him. He's the one that's got to be lifted up. But as we look, these people, these 12 that Christ chose, that was another interesting thing. If you look at Luke, Jesus prayed about it before He picked the 12, and I'm sitting there, that's one of those things that's just wonderful, and you don't understand at the same time. Like, he knew, but He prayed anyways. Why? To show us that we need to go to God with everything. We need to go to the Father with everything, and He chose them. But they didn't know. They didn't have, visions and knew how to see the future. These 12 knew nothing of what was going to happen or how it was going to turn out or how it was going to play out. And even though all these men loved Jesus, right? John, his favorite. All these, if you turn over to Matthew 26, Matthew 26 and verse 56. This is interesting. Matthew 26 and verse 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook Him and fled. All of them. Even John, who was the closest to Him when He was getting crucified. They didn't see these things. They didn't understand what was going on and getting it. And again, that's something that we need to really grasp as Christians. There's going to be times we have no idea what is going on in our lives. We're not going to know how to handle it. We're praying to God. We're trying to do everything right, but we don't know. What we can learn from these scriptures is don't flee. Amen. Draw closer to Him. Draw closer to Him. Because once you flee, that's it. You're going to get all kinds of confused, all kinds of messed up, and you're not gonna see how God can work through that the way He's supposed to. And I'm not holding anything against these guys. I mean, because I'll be honest, I would have too. here you have 12 men. Peter, who declared Jesus as the Christ, as the Son of God. And they're watching him get arrested and taken away. Going, we watched him raise people from the dead. We've watched him, you know, they just watched him put an ear back on a guy. But they're taking him away. I mean, I'd probably be pretty scared too. Like, how, he's got all this power. What's going on? I don't understand. And that's exactly what we do. We go, I don't understand, God. And we just try to go off the other way. When we should just be clinging to him. And go, maybe there's nothing I can do. But I know there's one thing I can do. I can walk with him. There was not. There's not. Scripture doesn't tell us anything that they couldn't walk with him. They followed him back to where they took him, but they could have walked with him. And that's what we need to do. We need to walk with him. When we don't understand and we can't see, we need to walk with him, no matter how hard it is. He'll get us through it. He is with us to the end. I like that. I keep saying that because I like that. You know, you read it and it just sticks in. He's with us to the end. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And that's a great promise to have. Especially now. But he even taught them after he was rose from the dead. Jesus still taught the disciples. He still taught the apostles. Right? After he was done, he went back and he found them. And, you know, Peter decided he was going to just go back fishing, but the Lord found him. He stayed with these guys all the way up. And, you know, and that's where you get Jesus asking Peter, you know, do you love me? And he's like, yeah. Feed my sheep. And why is he saying that? Because it goes back to what they were called to do, what they were supposed to do. And that's preach. That's preach the gospel. That's what they were called to do. That was their main job. And Jesus says, you're not done yet. You still got to do it. And that's why. And that's what we don't understand. We forget about that. That's what we're here for. We're here to preach the gospel. We're not here to make a name for ourselves. We're not here to put people down. We're not here to argue or dispute. We're here to give them a clear-cut presentation of the gospel so that they can have the same choice that we had. And that's what Jesus is saying. You know, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Go out. Why aren't you telling anybody? Why are you out here fishing? Should be out there preaching. Should be out telling them how to get right with God, how to stay right with God. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to get saved. It really isn't. I mean, I'm not the smartest man, and I got saved. And that's, I mean, it took me some years, so I guess you could say I wasn't that smart, but it isn't. But this changed everything, because he came back and he said it, and he's telling them how everything's going to go, how he's going to get the whole, how he's going to send the Holy Spirit. They're going to write the day of Pentecost, and don't worry about it. You know, even back before he was crucified, he was telling him, I'm going to send you a comforter. Don't worry about it. And in these times after he was resurrected, he's telling him the same thing. I haven't forgotten about it. Why? Because God does not forget about his promises. There are some things in life, though, that we have to uphold. There's some stipulations for certain things that we have to uphold. But it doesn't mean he doesn't honor his promise. He does. See, the promise that he'll never leave is there. There's no stipulation on that. That, if you believe he's left you, then that was a choice you made. That wasn't a choice he made, because he's still there. And he's just tapping on your shoulder going, if you just turn around, you can see me. But you're thinking I'm gone and I'm right here. But this changed the whole world. You had these 12 men that he chose that ran away, that fled, that were so scared sitting in a room, but God's one promise comes to them. They get filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's, well, we got to go back to work. We got to go back to work. We got to go labor. Right? Why? Because the fields are ripe, and they're just waiting. They're just waiting. Now, as we get into other apostles, I'll say it and clear up, but there's these apostles, these 12, are the apostles of the Lamb. Well, I should say 11. The 12th comes later on because of Judas. And you can find that over in Acts 1, chapter 1, and verse 20 through 26, where they're casting lots to figure out who's going to be the next apostle. But the thing is these guys are all, the reason why he could get chosen as apostle is because he saw Christ. He was there. He was part of all this. Now, Paul's a special example. He comes in later, but he comes in for us. He's one born out of due time, so that we can hear and we can get what we're supposed to know, because we're not part of that. We're not a part of this sign. We don't need tongues. We don't need to see people get, you know, raised from the dead. I mean, it would be awesome if we could. I mean, it, you know. But I mean, we don't need that. It's not part of how God made us. We just need to know. But you know, Paul comes in and so he's a different apostle. But the apostle of the Lamb are the 12, which are written on a foundation in heaven. I mean, that's where they go. They're basically the guys. These are the ones that Christ chose and said, hey, you got to start it. You got to get out there and spread the word. And again, you never know if things could have been different. Another reason why Paul was called was because they didn't go to the ends of the earth. They didn't do what they were commanded. They kind of hung around where they were comfortable with. Sound familiar? That's what we do, right? We hang around where we're comfortable with and don't want to go somewhere else. And, you know, we shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't have to have God call somebody else because we're too comfortable. Because he will. He will. But you're going to lose out on a lot of blessings. But as you go through this, these apostles, the lives are just great of them. They're just normal people. Everyday people just like us. That just made a choice. Amen. That's all they did. It wasn't nothing special. It wasn't, you know, they had to go to Bible college. It wasn't they had to have a master's degree, a doctorate. They didn't have to put so much time into, you know, understanding certain languages. It was their desire. It was a desire and a decision. And that's all it is. That's all. We can all have the same thing. We can all be close to God. We can't be apostles, but we can certainly be disciples. And that's what he calls us to be. Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity again, Lord, just to preach your word, Lord, just to dive into what you have for us, Lord. Just gives us a better chance to know you, to understand you, Lord, and to truly learn how to love you the way that you should be loved, Lord. Thank you again, Lord. Please be with the pastor this morning as he preaches. And just please again, Lord, we're all ready. Whenever you come back, Lord, it's good with us, and that could be today, and we would love it. We just pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.